What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
Into sports.
20 yards out, Urch to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? Get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power,
fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.
Welcome back. So we'll get straight into it then. Last Friday, Nathan Murphy and Jason McAteer sat down with Kenny Dalglish, all done remotely. The world that we're living in, with thanks to CadburyFC.com, part of these series of remote roadshows we've been doing. You can check out the other ones: Gary Neville, Teddy Sheringham, Sol Campbell, Ian Wright, Harry Redknapp and Glenn Hoddle, all there waiting for you. But we'll bring you some Kenny Dalglish now. This is about 2 hours long, so we can't bring you the full thing here on FM radio. Part one is available to watch right now on the OTB Sports app or on podcast or on YouTube. Here's a bit of part two for you. We will jump in with Kenny here talking about his first stint as Liverpool manager back in 1985.
Were there any times during your career, Kenny, where it was a struggle, the playing side of it, where you just couldn't find form, where things just weren't happening for you? Was that a constant battle, or there generally were you actually quite happy with how things were going?
I don't think if you ever become complacent, you're going to feel off, aren't you? Mm. I mean, there was times when I was probably rubbish. No, probably. It was rubbish. And you just got to try and get your way through it. I think I had a long run, maybe 20 games or something, without scoring a goal.
Mm.
And then scored with a header for a corner at Brighton. A header? What am I doing? Challenging for a corner. They used to send me out to take them. But so that was, yeah, you become a wee bit frustrated, but No, as well as letting yourself down, you feel as if you're letting everybody else down.
Mm.
Joe left us out when he was manager, quite rightly so. We're going to play at Tottenham, and they said, "You're not playing." I said, "I know, I read it in the paper."
Did you?
Ah, but I didn't deserve to play. I'd been rubbish, so fair enough.
Nate, there used to be a hairdresser's around the corner from Anfield, and you could go in there on a Friday, and the fellow who cut your hair would know the team. He was mates with the gaffer. You'd know if you were playing on the Saturday. So yeah,
I think Joe Fagan did say it was the most stupid decision he ever made, dropping you for that game.
We won.
That Joe Fagan, when he dropped you against Spurs,
we won.
They won.
We won. Aye, wasn't it that stupid? Hey, there's a lot of things Joe is. One thing definitely, isn't he? He was never stupid.
Yeah.
Well, a brilliant man he was.
We've spoken to Graham Souness about that and his relationship with Joe Fagan and his ability to say the right thing at the right time. What an incredible learning experience as you're preparing to go in as manager, to have worked with Jock Steen, to have worked with Bob Paisley, to have worked with Joe Fagan. Do you just take a little bit out of all of them, or were there a lot of similar characteristics across the three?
No, they're all, the only thing they had in common was that they were all winners, and they were all really intelligent, and they were all good at their job, and they went about it in different ways.
Mm.
And you take a wee bit from every one of them, then you've got a chance, and the individual who's making the decision and what bit you're going to take from Big Jock or even Fergie when he was in Scotland, Bob Paisley, that will dictate if you're going to be good or bad yourself, because the bits that are relevant prove useful to yourself. If you pick the wrong bits, then they're going to be harmful.
Mm.
But when I was given the manager's role, and I don't know why they asked me, but then they gave us the manager's, they asked us if I wanted to be manager. Then it was Bob Paisley was upstairs. Bob came back a couple of years out when Joe was manager, but he came back. They said, Bob can sit upstairs. I went, yeah. You'll be manager. Ronnie and Roy will carry on as a coaching. I went, yeah. And there was an old boy, you'll know him, Tom Saunders.
Yeah.
And then around the football club, he was the first youth development officer in the football and an ex-headmaster and run the Liverpool school side. And I said, yeah. And I says, I'll have a desk in my office for Tom. He can sit there because he's a wise old guy. And you could maybe get in an argument with somebody. And he'd go away and he'd think about it and come back the next day and say, you know, I was just thinking. And he was really, really helpful and looked at it from some other angles. So for me going in, Jesus, who couldn't do that? How could you not be a success with that running about you?
Mm.
And you, aside from that, the best football administrator I've ever met was Peter Robinson. And he was a secretary, as we called him then. Probably chief executive, they would be titled then. Mm. They were unbelievable. So they put me in, but they had all these people running about us. Imagine having an old Bob on your side.
I know. Was the difficulty having played with the players, though? Like, did you worry about that? Like, having friendships with some and not so much friendships with others, that could be a problem for you, certainly picking the team?
I was never going to have a problem picking the team. The problem I had was picking myself. If I should play or shouldn't play.
Mm.
And I knew who to go, who to turn to if I wasn't playing. Myself. So I have a word with the manager. But I think you always have friends in the dressing room that are a bit stronger friends than some others. But when my attitude was always, if we're playing a game, I want to win as much as they want to win. And I've got to pick a team. I want to go home to my family after the game on the Saturday and be in a good mood and for them to be happy. So why would I pick a team that, out of spite? I picked a team that I thought could win. And I always did that. I always wanted a team that could win because I wanted to be happy as well. And actually, Ronnie and Roy said, you need to start playing yourself. So you've not been playing. I said, don't need to play. Walsh is shooting the lights out with goals the first part of the season, then Walsh you get injured. And I said, well, I need to play now. And that was, for me, that's the most important thing. No, your friendship or what towards people. You pick it because it's right. And Big Hansen was probably as close to us here with the families and everything growing up, living nearby. Nearly was captain and a great captain, the most successful player we had here, and just thought maybe he needed a change. And if I put Big Hansen in as captain, because it would be good in the dressing room, but good for the boys in the dressing room, no for me. He wouldn't tell me what day it was, never mind tell me a story about the dressing room. So they knew that they'd be kosher and he would control the dressing room to a degree and make sure everything was all right. And if there was something wrong, they'd sort it out. Never came back to me. And that's the way I wanted it, because I knew the dressing room was sacrosanct. The manager wasn't allowed in there. So if I went to walk in the dressing room, they'd all be... And then you walk in, silence. I'll come back in a couple of minutes, just finish your story. Because you know what they're talking about. Right? It's just the names change, don't they? The names change, the conversation's the same. So, all right, finish your story, I'll be back in 2 minutes. And I tried my best to be as fair as I possibly could, but at the same time, it was hurtful for me. The likes of Fanili, he moved on. Mm. Alan Kennedy moved on. And that season, we must have made about 6 or 7 changes that went almost unnoticed. Because Jan started playing more often, Steve McMahon came in, Craig Johnson started playing more often. So we were, and Walsh started to play a lot more instead of me. So there were some changes. We brought Nico and Jim Beglin and another Irishman. You won.
Yeah, I won that one.
So, yeah. So there were changes made, but there wasn't a big song and dance about it.
Yeah. The when you're talking about that dressing room dynamic then of you're the manager, everyone goes silent. How did you balance at the times you were playing, though, when you wanted to make sure that the dressing room had its natural atmosphere, but also you simply had to be there because you were playing on the team?
But this was during the week.
Mm.
The conversation had been mostly during the week. When it's match day, there is still a bit of humour.
Right.
But there's not the same level of conversation.
It's so a bit more serious.
A wee bit more serious, aye.
Yeah. That team that you took over, and you have the success of the double, as you say, there's a season then where there's nothing, but then the team around 88 and some of the performances, some of the attacking performances, the one that always stands out is the Nottingham Forest, the 5-0 victory, as good a game as Liverpool have ever produced. How enjoyable was it to work with players of that talent and to get them buzzing the way they did? As a manager, was it replicating the buzz you felt when you were out playing, say, 10 years earlier, to be able to see, to get those players to all come together and perform like they did?
No, the biggest thrill you get is playing. It doesn't matter what else you're doing. Trigger the go at Tranmere with John Barnes, assistant manager. So it's not the same on the sideline. Yeah, you were enthralled with them. The performances were fantastic. Some of the individual players produced unbelievable performances. But it's still, when you were playing, that was the best days of your life.
Mm.
But certainly the boys that came in 87, 88, poof. They didn't have provided a great deal of entertainment for everybody.
Yeah.
Mm. When you consider what they had to go through in 89 and still going and be successful, then I think it speaks volumes for them as men as well as for footballers.
Mm. Mm. What were you like in 88 then, after the cup final in 88, Kenny? What sort of loser were you when there was big games that didn't go your way? What was the reaction like in the dressing room after a cup final like 88?
No, we weren't happy, obviously. If you start enjoying defeat, you might as well pack it in. But key credit to Wimbledon, they scored a goal, we never. What they wanted to do in the game, they did better than what we wanted to do. So give Wimbledon credit for winning. You can be upset that you lost, but you don't need to be a sour loser. Yeah, you can be a bad one, but not a sour loser. They deserve to win because they scored a goal.
Yeah.
And that was it. So anything else that happened was irrelevant.
Mm. You touched on it there, what happened in 89 then at Hillsborough. And like Jason, you grew up around the area, you played for the club, you're still around the area. Like, one of the reasons why Kenny is so revered at Merseyside, it's not just his brilliance as a player, it is what he has done for the city, more so than ever since Hillsborough, and his work with the families. It's, you know, for you to talk about Kenny, and because you'll have met a lot of those families, you'll have seen his work around the club, it really is quite incredible what he's done through the years.
Yeah, I wasn't playing football professionally when it happened. I was actually working in a pub, and I was on the afternoon shift, and I was waiting in the bar, and the telly was on. And back then, it was grandstand, and you know, they were going backwards and forwards to the ground. It was kind of unknown. I had friends and family who were at the game, who'd gone down. Lots of people from the pub, a lot of the lads had gone down, and you know, obviously, it was coming through the enormity and the devastation. And you know, I always remember the pub clearing out, like everyone going and no one being left in there. And then over the next few days, you know, different stories about people who had passed away and people we knew. I played football with the two trainer boys who sadly passed away, and I knew them very well. And you see all the communities come together and kind of everything becomes irrelevant. And then you see the players, and then Kenny, you know, all at the funerals and stuff, and you've got nothing but appreciation, and you admire them for what they have to do. And Kenny said before, I think Liverpool and its fans have always had a special relationship.
Mm.
We show humility, but we also show support, and they showed their human side. You know, they were looked upon as gods and great players and legends, but you know, through adversity, I think people can see the character of the human being. And all them players and Kenny, what they did, only they can tell you how they felt. And, you know, everyone's appreciative of what they did and what they're doing now still. You know, I'm very good friends with John Aldridge and I still see him get upset by it. And they're all the same. And it was brilliant. It was amazing what they did. It was just amazing.
When you talk about the footballing side there, Jason, like it's still hard to get your head around that it's sort of 6 weeks later, Kenny, that the Michael Thomas goal happens and Arsenal win the league. And you have so much context at that time for football's place in life. It felt as had more of an importance for the people of the city for something to get behind them with the cup final. For you, though, those games that came afterwards, how difficult was it to give them any level of importance, considering everything that you, the club, the city, had been going through over the previous months?
No, we go success at Wembley. We beat Everton 3-2 after extra time at Wembley. Then we came back with the trophy and did a wee bit with the trophy around about the hospital in Liverpool. On the Tuesday, we were playing West Ham, Tuesday night. We beat them 5-1. But it was never a 5-1 game. We scored three goals later on and we were lucky to come away 5-1 winners. And that's why there was a big goal. Well, there was a 2-goal difference going into the game on the Friday. And to be fair, the boys were running on empty because of the emotion of playing it in the cup final, because of the extra time, because playing against West Ham, knowing that you couldn't afford to lose if you wanted to win the league, or the drain, or the energy drained out them, and then they come to the game on the Friday, and they were really running against a brick wall, and to get that close was a fantastic effort for the boys. Arsenal deserved to win the league because they get more goals than us, or the goal difference was better, whatever it was. So there's no way that we can get away from that, but. And there's no, in hindsight, or trying to be clever, if there was a trophy that was more important to the people of Merseyside that year, it was the FA Cup. So they could have a bit of solace for themselves, everybody, that at least we got what we wanted to get, or what was most important. And that was probably the only year that the FA Cup meant less. It meant more than the League Championship. But that's not to take away Arsenal's ability to win it.
There's obviously been a lot of developments in recent years with independent reports, with the inquests, and you'll have spent as much time as anyone with families over the last few years. Have you got a sense that people are getting some sort of peace, some sort of closure isn't the right word because there'll never be closure, but that everything that's happened over the last few years is giving a little bit of peace to the families?
Well, every family will have a different idea of what they think is satisfactory outcome for themselves. So as long as you've got that, then it'll always remain open. And you can't blame the families for having different ideals, which is right and which is wrong, because everybody's different. And they have been unbelievably representative of the people of Liverpool and stood up for the supporters of Liverpool Football Club. And they are the ones that are the heroes, really. They're the ones that have been through the mill since 89 and everything that they had to do for their families and the way that they fought hard for the justice. And anything and anybody else, myself included, we were only support acts. They supported us for years and years. It was their turn to be supporters. And we tried our best to do a little bit to make them feel a bit better and help them along the way. But they always are the biggest player in any of this. Nothing to do with. Nobody did it for anything, any personal gain. They did it because it's the right thing to do. And if you can't help people less fortunate than yourself, we've all got a problem.
Has the way that you and your family have dealt with it changed in recent years as well? There's been a documentary, there have been quite a few public interviews where, as a family, you seem to have spoken quite openly. Do you talk about it now in a different way to maybe you were even 10, 15, 20 years ago?
My family?
Mm.
No, it's I don't. No, it still is the same meal. It still resonates with. Two of the kids were there. Kelly was there. Paul was there. But we were fortunate. They never suffered in any way, shape, or form for being at the game physically, mentally. I would have thought so. But they could come home, and there's a lot of people couldn't. So, as I say, the most important thing is they've had a few positive results in recent years of families, and if they've got some outstanding ones, then let's hope they're successful, and let's hope they can push onward and upwards and get on with this. Some people have been punished. The judgment's been made on them. So if there's some more to come out, then fine. But for what they did for their families, for their loved ones, it was unbelievable. To sacrifice, 25 years or their life is unbelievable. So the same it deserve, all the credit.
Mm. The leaving of Liverpool, Kenny, is well documented after that dramatic Merseyside derby. What are we, 30 years on now from that almost, of the initial leaving of Liverpool? When you look back, did it simply have to happen? Was there no way that you could have avoided leaving at that time? Did you just need that break?
Yeah. Just a rest and that would be it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for me, it might have came at the wrong time. We were top of the league. Made my mind up before the Everton game, which confirmed that it was the right decision I was making.
Mm.
And there was no way. I just run out of gas, and you run out of gas. I'm doing nobody any favours, least of all the club, more importantly, the family as well. So for me, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Jason, what are your memories of that time and that era when all was changing for Liverpool, when Kenny is finishing up, Graeme Souness is coming in? You're just starting out as a professional footballer at that stage.
Yeah, I'm just making a way in the game. Yeah, still a massive fan, still going to games. I've become friends with a couple of the players as well. But obviously, as a community, we were all still hurting about what went on. And, you know, I think we all understood Kenny's decision. You know, as fans, we were devastated by his decision to leave. But I was young as well, so I didn't really understand it too much. And I wasn't as emotionally attached as what Kenny was, obviously. But, you know, as I've grown up and realised mental health and what such, I can understand completely why. But at the time, you know, as a fan, you're wondering what's going to go on, and it's a fresh start, and Graeme tries to change sort of the ethics and the philosophy of the football club. So you're just watching intently what's going on. And, you know, I was there, Bristol City, on the cop when, unfortunately, they were beaten and Graeme got sacked. And, it was just that time for me when I was just making my way into professional football at Bolton.
You can't have been happy then as a Bolton player when he rocked up at Blackburn.
Who, Kenny? Coming back. I said before, you know, there's been a lot of discussions about Melwood and sad times. One of the saddest times for me was when Roy Evans resigned, when Gerard Houllier come in, and he come into the Melwood dressing room, the porter cabin, and he said he was leaving, and there was tears, and the whole place was just in tears. Every player, Neil Ruddock, everyone was in tears. And Don Hutchinson tells the same story of Kenny. And, you know, I think when players talk about, I know Kenny's on with us, but when players talk affectionately about their emotions towards a manager, it just tells you a lot about how much he's liked, what kind of a man he is. And, you know, you want him back in the game. You know, if he comes back in the game and he's managing Blackburn, then it's great to have Kenny Dalglish back in football. It, you know, managing Blackburn, how he does remains to be seen. You know, can he replicate what he's done? Mm. Who knows? But just to have him back in football, you know, it was great. And as I said, he was my hero. So I was made up to see him just back. And he didn't probably, you know, make a success of what he did at Liverpool, but he was still successful at Blackburn. He still, you know, still won the league and what have you. So, yeah, it was brilliant to see him back.
The differences between the Liverpool job and the Blackburn job, Kenny, like the expectation that was there throughout your career from Celtic through Liverpool, player as manager, was Blackburn a totally different experience in terms of expectation? It, like the place the club were in at the time, I know there was investment coming, but the place the club were in at the time, was everything just a bonus at Blackburn?
No, it was the success was equally as important to them as it was to Liverpool. Success is success, whatever the club is. Mm. The club's the most whatever club you support is the most important club in that league, in that country. So, no, the Blackburn Rovers fans love their club equally as much as Liverpool fans love theirs. It's just Liverpool had a lot more fans than what Blackburn did.
Yeah.
And Blackburn was in its infancy. If Jack Walker hadn't come forward and offered to put finances together to rebuild the club, then nothing would have happened for Blackburn, I don't think.
Was that the challenge for you? Was that the challenge to build a team and make it successful and feeling ready to go again?
They came to see you a couple of times, a few times, and I just liked them as people.
Yeah.
You know, you looked at them, it was Bill Fox then, who unfortunately died before all this really kicked off at Blackburn. But you just thought, these are nice people. You know, they're good, they're homely people. Lancastrians are pretty straight. They've no been too high profile in the football of in their own town. They would have been at Blackburn. But as soon as Jack, I mean, there were stories in the paper about who they were signing, like Steve Archibald and Zinedine Zidane, and I'm going, is somebody
Asian winning McAteer.
No, this was before that. So I'm saying, how can they be signing any type of people? They can't have that kind of money. And Jack had that type of money. So he was financing it for everybody.
Mm.
But if he never had the money, I wouldn't have gone. Because the only way you can get success is to spend money.
Mm. And was the ambition from day one to win the Premier League title, was that a stated ambition from Jack Walker?
Yeah, but I sent him a psychiatric nurse to see if he was sane or not. But anyway, that's what he wanted to do.
Right.
He wanted to win. The Premier League hadn't started.
Mm.
Had it? It was just starting the next year. He was wanting to win.
Right, yeah.
So we had to get promotion first. So we got that the first year. And then we were into the Premier League when it started. But that was, by the way, you're not going to get people like that now. That's not going to happen again. Some local chap coming up with the money and putting it in and being successful as he was. It's not going to happen.
And was that just him wanting to give something back to the town?
Exactly. You see, I was born and brought up here. I've got steel business here. He owns an airline, and see, I just want to give something back to the people of Blackburn.
Mm.
And that's, by the way, it's hugely commendable that he did that.
I presume, Jason, you played a lot against that Blackburn side through the years?
No, I didn't know, because Bolton was, when I signed, we were in the other divisions, and then we eventually got, in fact, one of my last games for Bolton was against Blackburn. I don't think it was Kenny's Blackburn. I remember having a fight with David Batty, and then I signed for Liverpool. There was only one winner there, that was Bats. I eventually signed for Blackburn. I left Liverpool, and so I know what Kenny's talking about with Jack Walker. You know, he had this vision. He'd come in, we'd get beat a few times. He'd come in the dressing room. He wasn't frightened to give it out, Jack. He'd walk in that dressing room and give you a mouthful and let you know how much it meant to the fans, and we need to roll our sleeves up and pull our fingers out. But unfortunately, illness took over and we've seen less and less of him. And with his sort of presence being diminished somewhat, the kind of club took a wrong turn, and we had a few managers, different managers come and went, and sustainability never really happened. They ended up getting relegated, didn't they? But it's a great club, Kenny. Like Kenny said, that the people are fantastic. The fans are great. You know, it's built on good foundations. And yeah, I enjoyed my time at Blackburn. It was just unfortunately when Graham Souness turned up, we didn't see eye to eye, and I left. There's only one winner there as well.
We mentioned right at the start when you were potentially going to go to Blackburn first time around, when you went to Liverpool, and Kenny, you were saying that was the summer you were sort of stepping upstairs and why you were involved. What was the reasoning behind the decision to not stay on as first team manager when Blackburn have got to the summit? Or is that actually the reason that you'd achieved everything you set out to achieve at the club?
Well, Jack wants you to win the league. We won the league. Somebody wants to take it forward from there. It's up to you. Let them, they can choose. I said you should get someone else to take it forward for you.
Right.
So, Ray came in. And Ray Harford was hugely influential when I was winning the league. Fantastic coach. I think it's, to be fair, it was a difficult job for him coming in afterwards.
Mm.
And although I was in every day, I tried to stay away for the training ground and be as low-key as possible because the players had to understand that Ray was the boss, not me. I wasn't the boss anymore. I was going to look at players for Ray if he wanted players looked at or whatever. And I was very careful, maybe too careful, and no helpful enough because I didn't want to stand in his toes.
How did it feel, obviously, winning it at Anfield? You know, with football, it can throw up these things, can't it? You sign for a football club and then you've got to play your old club the next game, haven't you? Things like that happening. You know, all of a sudden you find yourself at Anfield after everything that's happened with Blackburn, with a chance of winning the league. Did you feel it was the place to do it, although it was with another team, that it just...
No, the place to do it, the place to do it's with the team that you're managing. It's a home ground. Yeah. That's the place to do it, isn't it? But second one is to play it, is to do it at the place where you spent most of your adult life, and that's at Anfield. So, really, when you look at it, it doesn't matter where you want it. If you'd been sitting at home and you won it, it wouldn't have mattered. You've still got it, haven't you? You've still got it. And that's the most important thing. But it was a bit special to win it at Anfield.
Yeah. The Liverpool fans enjoyed it as well.
But it was mixed emotions for them, wasn't it? They would enjoy Manchester United losing it.
Mm.
And I was winning it. But they'd have much better enjoyed their own team winning it.
Would you have chinned Jamie if he'd ever... Because he scored the free kick, didn't he? Then ultimately, you lost the game, but... You know, would you give him some stick if you'd have lost the title?
Shearer knocked one over the bar for 6 yards.
Well, you would have chinned him then, wouldn't you?
No. When it was one each, with a couple of minutes to go, just before Jamie scored.
Well, you don't see that on the box, do you, on the highlights?
I saw it.
I didn't forget.
He missed it.
How could you blame him for that? How could you blame him if you lost it? The goals that he scored for the club.
Oh, brilliant.
Kenny, the word you probably use most often during this chat is winner. Like, for you, it seemed winning was everything. It was the reason for getting out there. It was the justification for everything. And after Blackburn, you know, you've spelled at Newcastle, at Celtic, and then there's a good spell outside of the game. Was there a way, any way of getting near the buzz, the satisfaction of playing, of being involved in football when you were away? And when you are away now, do you still miss that sort of addiction to winning? Have you ever found anything to get close to replicating it?
No, I don't even win an argument in the house now. that was your work gap, that was everything, the football, regarding your working life. For me, it was, if you're taking part, you might as well win.
Mm.
You might as well try and win. I don't want to just be there and no competing and no being able to compete. So the best way to compete is to win. The best way to get trophies is to win. I wouldn't say at all costs, but there's a way of doing it. And I just enjoyed it. Maybe it was the way I was brought up. As a young boy playing football, growing up through the school teams and everything else, always wanted to win those games.
Mm.
So I didn't think that was a bad idea. I didn't think it was a bad philosophy.
No.
We just sort of carry on and get into the football. When you're working in it, you've got to win. You've got to take part. And when you're away from it, you watch your games in a different frame of mind, really.
Mm.
You watch your games in a different frame of mind. So winning isn't it a be all and end all, but it's no far away from it.
Kenny, if I said to you, you could go and play one game now, I could send you back in time, and you could go and play one game that you played, what one would you pick?
And we won.
Well, it's up to you. I don't think you're picking a losing one, are you?
I think a really important part of my football, my playing career was in my Old Firm debut when at Ibrox. And I lived right across the road from Ibrox for a few years when I was there. So we were winning them 1-0 and we got a penalty kick in the second half at the Celtic end. And Billy McNeil said, take it. It was worse than that. And I scored, so maybe if that hadn't gone in, that could have been a different story. You never know.
Yeah.
Brilliant. But I spotted it in anyway.
Yeah.
And then people might say, well, it was a penalty kick. You're allowed to score, or you should score.
Yeah.
By the way, it's also an Old Firm derby in your debut. Throw that in the mix.
Is that as nervous as you've ever been on the pitch?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
When you look at your role at Liverpool now, and listen, it's such a terrible shame there's nobody there in the stadium, but like we've been there many times and it's a packed house. The Sir Kenny Dalglish stand is there. How much do you enjoy your current role at the club and being involved and the scenes the night they won the title when you're on the television? How enjoyable a place is it to be right now, Liverpool Football Club?
The football club's a great place to be in and around. I'm non-executive director, which is a hugely complimentary title for them to have put on myself, and the way that they've looked after myself and respected what you've done with putting the stand name up there and actually just put me in there as a non-executive director speaks volumes for the people that have been involved. FMG have been fantastic. FMG, Jesus Christ. FSG. There's another company in Liverpool called FMG.
Where you get your furniture from, man?
Semi Sports Group have been fantastic for the football club. I mean, they have really taken it forward, kicked it on, and it's onwards and upwards. And for them, I don't think this would have happened without somebody likes of them. And the investment they've put in has been brilliant. And if there's money there for players, they give it to, and they did give it to the managers, myself included, that were there. They brought players in. If they've got the money, you can have it. And I think that's what everybody wants to hear. Then it's down to you as a manager to make the right decisions and who comes in and who goes. If you've got the money, you can do that. So I think they're respectful and helpful, and I think they've really helped them go move forward.
On and off the pitch. Sorry, Jason, I was going to say, because you're there as well at Anfield all the time, that there's a respect there and an acknowledgement of the former players at Liverpool now, that it feels as though there's a place for everybody who's been involved at the club.
Aye. There's always been a place for everybody. I've always felt my relationship with the club is as strong as ever from leaving. You know, it's a special place. It's an institution. It's just amazing that they embrace us still, and we can go back there. And you know, we need a ticket, we can go, and everyone knows each other, and we all, you know, all the lads who have all over the world still live around. A lot of them still live around Merseyside. That just tells you, you know, the community that we have. We all meet up at Christmas. We all stay in touch. We play golf. It's you know, we are very, very close. I just wanted to ask Kenny, you know, obviously through, you know, the 70s and the 80s, we've seen teams dominate divisions like Man United through the 90s, dominating the Premier League. How difficult do you think it is nowadays for a team to dominate like that? Do you think it can be done? Do you think Liverpool can have a stretch of 5 years of being dominant? Or do you think it's just very, very difficult now?
I think the competition's fierce now. I mean, the game last week with Man City, the first 45 minutes, both teams were brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah.
The quality of the game, the pace of the game, two teams, and that they're the two teams that have been, the last 2 years have been up there competing for the title. This year, I think this year you might see somebody step in for the outside and win it, because everybody's beating each other. Liverpool have been hit quite badly with some serious injuries, which when you're not able to bring people in, can be quite decisive. But for attitude, commitment and their effort, they're never going to fall short in that, Liverpool. So I don't know what's going to happen this year. But I think for me, whether Liverpool's going to go onwards and upwards and Man City's going to be there or thereabouts, I think it's hard to judge this year. But to go and do something for 4 or 5 years,
it's tough,
I don't know. There's more money about than there are players. So most of the clubs that want to be successful want to spend money. But who'd you buy? Where'd you get them from? Because they're all chasing the same players.
Yeah.
And that's where Jürgen's been clever. There wouldn't be too many chasing Jota, would there?
No.
To be respectful. Jota, I'm not being disrespectful to him and his quality of play, but nobody would have thought, I'll go and get Jota. You go and get him, bring him in. Jesus, what's 7 goals in 5 games or something? He's on fire.
But his recruitment has been brilliant, hasn't it? All the way through, players like Robbo. Robbo from Hull. You'd never have thought he'd go on to be arguably the best left back in the world, would you, when you've seen him at Hull?
No, and it just shows you that somebody's doing the work properly. And I think at the end of the day, Michael Edwards and the football the football fraternity there do the work, and Jürgen makes the choice. So if that's the way it's done, or whatever way it's done, please don't change it. Just keep it going. it's working quite well. So it's going to be difficult to see somebody. I mean, Liverpool, that's 3 years now, isn't it?
Yeah.
3 years. So it's going to be, you need an even slice of luck. And at the moment, the guards' injuries, we're not getting much luck on that side of it. But they're showing great commitment and attitude. Jürgen against City, playing four forward, was really brave and thought right outside the box there, because I don't think there's too many people would have thought that. No. But if that's where your best players lie, play them.
Yeah. Kenny, you've seen any amount of characters come through Anfield over the last 40, 50 years. Jürgen Klopp right up there among those characters?
Well, when he was announced as manager, I said, fasten your seatbelt. we are in for a roller coaster here. It'll be brilliant. And he has been absolutely fantastic for Liverpool.
Yeah.
He came in and he settled down, and the way they go about their work, the way they prepare people, the thought that goes into the preparation, and the attention to detail, it's fantastic. So just hope it continues, moves onwards and upwards.
This is the latest in our OTB Sports Remote Roadshows in partnership with Cabri FC. Check out cabrifc.com for updates and promotions and giveaways. We have some rapid-fire questions to finish up, Kenny. Each of our listeners who sent these in, they get themselves a nice Cabri's hamper, and they get their question answered, hopefully, by Kenny Dalglish. Stephen Daunt has asked, we went on this earlier, you got to give an answer now, Kenny. Your favourite Irish player?
Kevin Moran.
there's
a story there, isn't there?
There is a story there.
He was captain at Blackburn when I went there.
Yes.
And then you sold him for breaking your jaw, didn't you?
No, I never sold
him. Your nose?
I never sold him, he retired.
Okay, different.
I think so, anyway. And I could beat him at golf.
He beat me the other week, actually. He's a bandit, he is.
Have you still got a scar from that clash with Kevin Moran?
No scars.
That's all right. Paddy O'Grady asks, and this is a difficult one, Kenny, I'm sure you hear sometimes, who from the current squad would make the 86 double winning team?
Good question.
Who would make it?
That means you've got to drop someone.
No, it could be myself, but.
Ah,
see,
yeah, I like unanimous. You're not upsetting anyone.
I'll leave myself out and we can put in Mo Salah.
Right.
Ooh, before Mane?
Well, before me.
That's true. Before I never do that, yeah.
Well, Mane, you need to leave out John Barnes.
Oof.
Yeah, oh, you can't.
I'll leave
that.
It with you, Trigger.
No, I'm not doing it. No. Barnesy stays in.
Barnesy stays in, Mane.
I wouldn't drop the gaffer, though.
Why? Who are you dropping?
Who are you back to? Big Jockey and... Was it Jockey and Dizzy?
Loro.
Jockey and Dizzy. Loro. I dropped Virgil for Loro. There you go.
You drop Virgil in?
Yeah, drop him in for Loro, yeah.
Poor old Loro gets an awful hard time of it. Peter Scully asks, Melwood closed this week. Who was the laziest player at training?
Clem. Big Clem.
Yeah?
Yep.
Jason? Who was the laziest player when you were there?
Razor.
Really?
That's why he was 18 stone.
True.
I think there's a wee bit of evidence here.
I was initially going when you said Razor. I thought you were almost going to say Ray Houghton. I was like, really? Yes, Razor Ruddock. No. Were you there during the Julian Dix era?
No, he left just a couple of months before I signed, yeah. No, I wasn't there with Dixie. No.
And a final one. It's on Steven Gerrard from AS. If Gerrard wants to be the future manager of Liverpool, does he need to get managerial experience outside of the SPL, or would winning titles with Rangers and perhaps getting them into a Champions League group stage be enough for you? I'm not sure if you get to make the decision, wow. Kenny, but these are the things you have to think about.
I don't need to make any decision. I just need to make a comment.
Exactly.
Steven's done fantastic at Rangers, and I think it was perfect for both parties. Stephen obviously has ambitions in the managerial role in football for many years to come. And the only way you're going to find out if it's suitable for you and if you're good enough is to go and try it. And it was very brave to go and try it at Rangers because Celtic were totally dominating. If they win the cup final against Hearts, that's him won 12 out of 12 trophies available for them. So that shows you how difficult it's been for Rangers, but he's done brilliant, and I don't think it's going to be any time soon. But if Liverpool ever had any thoughts in going for Steven, then he's shown his colours up at Rangers, and it's all very well and good saying it's only Scottish football. By the way, they want to go and try and work up there. And it's a higher level than they think. He's done brilliantly. And if it was ever in anybody's mind or train of thought, absolutely done himself no harm whatsoever.
I think as well now, I think football, I think in a lot of things that you do is timing, whether it's a centre forward arriving to score, whatever it may be, the smallest things can and the biggest things, timing. I mean, if it's right for Steven Gerrard, at the time Jürgen leaves, if he leaves, if he's got experience, if he hasn't got experience, are you in the right place at the right time to sign for a club? You've heard the gaffer talk about Torres going, Suarez come in because it was the right time. It's just all about timing. A lot of things we talk about in football, whether it's right at that moment. And as a candidate, why not? But if the timing and the planets align, then why not? But that remains to be seen, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Kenny, you've been brilliant with your time. You mentioned Scottish football. We got a mention last night. How much did you enjoy it? Scotland are back in the big time.
Well, they were never at the big time. They're just having a rest period. They played brilliantly as well. They played really well and thoroughly deserved it. I know it went to penalties, but they thoroughly deserved the victory.
Yeah.
Thoroughly.
Brilliant.
Yeah, begrudgingly, we will say congratulations. You can enjoy next summer at Euro 2020. We'll be watching on, very, very jealous here in Ireland.
I'll be watching on myself, some television somewhere.
This has been the latest in this year's OTB Sports Remote Roadshows in partnership with Cabri FC. Check out CabriFC.com for updates and promotions and giveaways. Jason McAteer, thank you as always.
Thanks, Nath. Another dream fulfilled, interviewing my hero. So thanks very much for that opportunity. I loved it.
Yeah, you and me both. Kenny Dalglish, it's been an absolute privilege to talk to you. I think we still only touched the surface of the most remarkable career in football. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
No problem, Nathan. Jason, thanks very much for being a very admirable right-hand man
and telling, thanks, Gaffer.
And telling a few pokies about me.
I wish I'd signed for you. I do.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.